Felix,
Akio,
Ryuga,
Gotalk. Hello, welcome back.
How are you?
Good.
That's good.
To Ryuga Gotalk, the podcast about the Yakuza video game series.
Hey.
Where each episode we go through another chapter of the Yakuza video game series.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently going through Yakuza 4 and have just finished the second of four characters. So, not quite halfway, because there's a little bit extra at the end, but there's plus, then we have to fight Amon.
But almost a half.
Yeah, kind of almost half, I would say. Almost halfway there.
Mm.
So, we just finished Saijima's last chapter.
Yep.
But we also played the in-between bit. Because there's a bit at the end of this chapter that leads into, well, it's kind of following on from Saijima's chapter before the start of the next chapter.
Mm.
It's like a little, what do you call it? It's not a, like a...
prologue.
Yeah, it's not a prologue or an epilogue. Maybe an epilogue to Saijima's chapters.
Because
what do you call a prologue in the epilogue in the middle of a story?
Interval log.
So there is a little bit after Saijima's chapter, which makes more sense in the context of his stuff than it does in the next chapter. So we've included that here too. So chapter is Oath of Brotherhood, and this chapter is mainly dealing with like Saijima finally getting answers to what happened with everything after and the aftermath of the day in 1985, and the hit against the Uinosawa, and what happened after that to everybody else, and why that all happened. So we start the chapter immediately after the Purgatory death match at the end of the last chapter, where Saijima refused to kill Ivan Ibrahimovich.
What?
I don't know his name. Ivan.
Ivan.
Ibrahimovich. That guy. which was just as we had. Well, just as it was obviously predicted, was a test by the florist
personal,
to see what kind of person Saijima was. And that if Saijima had have killed the other guy, the florist would have refused to help him out with all the stuff he was doing. So it was all a bit of a test, and now he will help out. So the first mystery that Saijima wants to solve is the Sasai
family. Is he?
What happened to the family? Well, he kind of figured that one out, that they disappeared. And the Shimano took over their turf. But what happened to the
Sasai
himself? So we get some information about that. That after he stepped down in 1985, the Inosawa put a hit out on him. And he was actually rescued by Majima and brought down to the purgatory. Almost dead and been, but he's still alive and has been homeless this whole time. And then he is actually brought in. And he's like really unresponsive and doesn't like know where he is, or like his kind of mind is all destroyed.
Slightly dementia.
Yeah. Though he looks exactly like, I'm wondering, like, wasn't that guy Akiyama talked to?
Really?
I don't think so. Probably not.
Mm. They're all similar looking.
Mm.
It's really round.
Yeah.
Round back, silver hair. And
using the same model.
Yeah.
So Sasai can't even barely speak and doesn't know who he is or this kind of stuff. But actually when Saejima speaks to him, he actually remembers Saejima's name, which is a real shock to the florist and everybody. So we've kind of solved that aspect of the backstory. So the other big thing that Saejima wants to figure out is
why
Majima.
Majima couldn't turn up.
Yeah, what happened on the day.
Mm.
So this chapter is a weirdly, for those who played through Zero first, which is most people these days, would start with Zero. This chapter here is like filling in gaps of, like, this is the prequel to what Majima's story in Zero. Like this chapter here. Because Zero is after Five. So you get this weird.
Yeah. So Five first and then connect to Zero.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's a story from Four that connects to Zero.
Eh? That is a Four, yeah.
Yeah, but Zero came after Five. So this ties in directly. Like the stuff that we see at the end of this chapter or in the like extra bit is like directly referenced in Zero. So there's those parts of Zero where in Majima's story where you kind of get it, but you, without seeing this stuff, you'd be like, okay, I don't know why, what the backstory is, but whatever. But this is that.
But it explained in Zero.
Yeah, but this gives a further context to it. So, yeah, so the next thing is dealing with Majima. But immediately after leaving, we run into Sodachi.
Soetana.
Who is
running dojo.
Yeah, running a dojo. But he can't fight.
Yeah, but he has an idea.
Method. He has a theory on
fighting.
But he's never fought, never won, not even once. And Saejima gets roped into helping him train fighters. It's all tied into the underground Colosseum in Purgatory. Like he's training guys for that. And then we have this is all the intro to one of Saejima's side activities here, which is like the fighting version of the hostess activity. It's a fighter maker.
Yeah.
Where you train up apprentices and then send them into tournaments and do all this stuff. And I did the entire thing in like two sittings. Because it's interesting. The thing about the fighter maker compared to the hostess maker in this game and Three, not in Zero. This is probably closer to the Zero version. Like it's, except it doesn't really have a fun mini game associated with it. But the hostess club, the annoying part of it is that it's slow and it's got all these like friction points.
Yeah.
Where you have to go out and you have to walk around and talk to people and then you have to go back in the room and all this stuff where it like slows you down.
But also fun though.
Yeah, in the Three and Four I'm talking about specifically. Where you have to, like, you do a thing and then you go out and then you do a thing and you can't see the effects directly. It doesn't tell you what the effects are. And, like, it's very, like, slow and
realistic.
Friction-y.
But it's realistic.
Yeah, not really.
How did you know? It is realistic.
Is it?
Yeah.
How is it realistic?
You can't see the bar, you know.
Yeah, but
she's happy. Or bar is like a
You can't hostess clubs. You walk around and people go, "Oh, I really like cute girls." You know, I like cute girls too. And then you like change their whole outfit to go cute. 2 minutes later, I don't think that quite works either. But the fighter maker is in contrast to the hostess maker. Has no friction whatsoever.
Yeah, quite straightforward.
Yeah. Where you can just grind it out with very little, like, there's very little parts where it's slowing you down or it's making you, giving you points where you go like, oh, okay, I'll quit. Like, maybe the fights, because you're just watching the fights. But for the most part, you can just, like, you just do a training session and you do another training session and then you do another one, like... And everything, you know exactly what it's doing. So, yeah, it was easy to just burn through the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's kind of disappointing that it is limited. Like, once you train all five apprentices, it's done. Like, that's it. And once you've fully trained one and they've won their tournament, that's it for them as well. So, it's not like you're building up, like, a dojo of fighters that will go off and do different things or anything like that. Like it's and it's not something like the hostess club in Zero or Kiwami 2 where it's like you do two other things and you could break this off and do its own game easy. It's nowhere near that.
So it's full stop now.
Yeah.
So you finished.
Yeah, it's done completely. I got the like letter from Utsunomiya Bob saying, like, come and get stuff because you finish it. So you go through, you get an apprentice, and then they have, like, a couple of statistics that you can raise up, like three statistics you can raise up, technique, power, and speed. And then you have training for each of those types. And each apprentice has a different balance of what their maximum potential is in each of those. So it's not like you can train everybody up to full. Like some of them are like, oh, I'm more into power and stuff. Or this one, I'm more into technique.
And because they have different body structure.
Yeah, and different fighting styles as well. And you can train up them with certain like heat actions as well, and special moves, and then you can like send them out to go compete in tournaments. So you can do like a couple of different trainings. There's ones where it like a couple of different options of like, okay, you do the lecture or you go out and drink with them, because they have two more things. They have so three stats, and then they have the trust and their mood as well, which you raise up. But it does kind of fall into a general thing of like, okay, well, I'll raise their trust and mood to the maximum and then train them up. Because if it's low, sometimes they will actually skip training.
Really?
Yeah. So you'll
play waggy kind of.
You'll set the training and then they'll skip and then their statistics will go down.
I saw no. And so, like, I don't want to do that, like, being naughty or just a skip.
Yeah.
They'll
just be lazy.
Playing waggy, dake.
Yeah, they'll wag.
Wag.
And just disappear. So, you have to kind of manage their mood as well to make sure they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So, they actually
Build up their mood?
You build up the mood and trust by them...
Eat out.
Yeah. Oh. Eating out, which is a little bit like... You can see how it is similar to the, like, going on dates with the hostesses. But it's not nearly as in-depth. Like, they'll repeat the same things over and over again. And you just need to learn what that person's personality is.
But you have to pick up right answer.
Yeah, it has the same thing. Otherwise, it doesn't go up. So it's like not as intense as those ones. Like it's a bit quicker, a bit smoother, those kind of things.
That's good.
So you train up these guys. they each have their own
style.
Yeah, style.
Mm.
You can put them into different, like, smaller tournaments before their championship match.
Mm.
And then they can you can earn money and you can upgrade the dojo facilities.
How?
You upgrade, like, different parts, and then the training you do in the different parts will be more effective.
So they use a dumbbell or...
Yeah, well, you could upgrade, like, the punching...
Treadmill?
Punching training. And then the punching training is more powerful. The weird thing was, like, I got to the end and I hadn't got everything fully upgraded, and then there was nothing more to do.
Mm-hmm.
At each guy, your goal is to do it in 50 turns or less. And each turn is, like, four normal training and a special training,
Mm-mm.
or five normal, something like that. Mm. So you can do normal training, which is those, like, punching, kicking on the ground, stretching, a couple other things, running to build up their stamina. That's the other one. And then you have a special training, which might be, like, you know, hanging out for a bit, or Saejima fighting them. Doing a sparring match.
Sparring.
Mm. Yeah. The sparring matches, which 90% of the time end with Saejima doing a horrific heat action on them, like throwing them directly into the wall. Blood everywhere. But they train them up really well. Uses lots of stamina, though. And if you... So they have a stamina bar, which is two things. The bigger it is, the more health they have overall. So if you train them up fully stamina, they'll have, like, green health they need to go through. But it also is the training that they can do. So each training that you do uses up some of the stamina. And if you if it runs out and then they have another training, they will get injured and then they'll have to, like, rest for a bunch of turns. So each one is a... Each, like, combined set of five or whatever it is a turn. And then you are trying to train them fully and defeat the championship within 50 turns.
So are there any trick, like a right combination, and then build up better? Or
The thing I found was that because each guy is a little bit different, different training works better on them. Like, some of them will get, if they do punch training, they will get their power up, but they'll also get technique up as well, whereas somebody else won't. So they respond a little bit differently to each one. But you're basically just training them up until you get them maxed out. And you can talk to Sodachi and talk to them in between as well. And they'll give you hints of, like, they need to train up their technique more. Or, like, their stamina won't go any higher, so we should probably work on power. Or we should get them into some matches. And then once you go through and you do the final championship, then they're done. And you get a rating for that character. So it'll say, like, how well you did and how efficient you were with the training, all that kind of stuff. So all of that is, like, super fast and super, like, it gives you all the information that you would want, and you can see what's happening. There's no, like, guesswork in there. The only part of it that has any randomness to it is the actual fights themselves, where you are watching your student fight an opponent, and the championships are three in a row, but the other ones are just one fight.
Did you catch Dilemma?
Because
you're just watching, right? You can't fight.
Yeah.
Just observing, right?
Well, you can tell them when to do heat actions. That's the one thing you can do. So you can... They're just fighting, and some of them are better fighters than others. But you're just watching it. And there's some, like, tension to it of, like, wow, come on, do the move. And then they will, like, come back. And so there's, like, a little bit of that stuff. But it is just two AI guys fighting each other.
Yeah.
But the one thing you can do is you can mash the triangle to build up a meter, and then you can use a heat move. But if you mess it up, pressing the button, then they can get countered and take a whole bunch of damage.
So each time, different button.
Yeah.
Not same.
So, but... yeah, you, like Saijin will yell out from the sidelines and then a big square will come up on the screen. So that's the only part that has any like randomness to it. Like a lot of the early guys you train up will be fine. And if they're full maxed out statistics, they will like go through the tournaments, no worries. Some of the later ones, though, like, but in particular, the fourth student.
Yeah.
The fourth student fucking sucks. It's just shit. So this guy is like a really...
What point?
He's super arrogant.
Arrogant.
And he's terrible at fighting. Oh. Even after you train him up, his AI and the moves that he's doing are crap. And it is a complete, like, luck to win with him. So basically what that consisted of was, like, you know, you prepare for the fight where you're like, okay, we'll spend the week resting and then you, you know, we'll make sure you got maxed out mood and trust levels. Because every time you do one of the heat moves in a battle, the trust level will slightly drop. Now, it won't drop a whole level, but it'll drop down a little bit.
Because
it's like, I don't know, you're not trusting them to be able to fight themselves and you have to tell them what to do. So they're like, oh, the trust level goes down a little
bit.
This guy's so terrible, though, that even like you have him fully maxed out, he's like maximum level. But he will still get absolutely killed. So the only way to get through these missions that I found was you sit there mashing the hell out of the triangle button. Like your Takahashi Meijin.
Yeah, Takahashi Meijin kind of.
Yeah, like hitting 36 times a second. To build up the meter and then just spamming over and over the heat actions and then mashing it back up and then heat action, mashing it back up and heat action. Hope it doesn't die in between while that's happening.
So you actually, because you have to control him.
Because the heat, the heat actions or the finishes, those are guaranteed chunk of damage. But his fighting is so terrible that the rest of the time he's probably going to get killed unless you just luck out. So the only way to guarantee a victory, especially once you get, like, the first battle in the tournament is fine, mostly. The second one, I had to do it a bunch. The third one was basically all that. It was just the mashing triangle as hard as possible to build up the meter.
So you have to pamper him.
Yeah.
Basically.
You just have to tell him exactly what to do because he's terrible. The guy after him is fine. I mean, compared to him, it's fine. You just train him up to maximum and then he's mostly fine. But that one guy is the biggest pain of all. And it's even more insulting because at the start of that part of the story, the training story, you get the choice of, like, it's a, you don't actually get the choice, but, like, there's a part where there's, like, three new students and Saijima's picking between them and Sodachi's giving his feedback and, like, oh, what about that guy? And you end up with this guy who's just terrible. And then he's, like, later on he's being, like, really arrogant to the other fighters who are way better than him. Like, just the worst. Really terrible. But got through it, Fighter Maker complete in one session. Again, it's not that long. It's five guys. And because there's, again, no, there's no friction to the training because you can just do one and then do another and then do another and do another, like, because it's just like pick things from a menu, press start, go through, see the increase, do it again.
So how many hours or how many days?
I don't know. I did over two sessions.
Two sessions?
Yeah.
Ah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that long even. But just, so there's this weird thing of Saijima comes out of this meeting with the florist, gets like grabbed by Sodachi and then spends like 2 weeks training up all of these guys and making this dojo into a really famous dojo. And then immediately goes back to the main story. So, speaking of the main story, I was thinking that this chapter was going to be a good one to get a lot of the side stories done. Because we've got tons of Sajima side stories that we just haven't done. Because they just don't show up until chapter three. And then there was the cops around.
Ah, certainly.
Yeah. So there's police all across the streets.
So you have to stealth mission. Stealth mission.
So it's a little bit, but it actually gets kind of worse where at this point there's parts where you can't, like, because, yeah, there's a part here where it says, there's later on in this chapter where it says, like, oh, if you get spotted by the cops, you will get a game over.
Yes, sir.
It's just like,
extortion.
Oh, okay. We're going back to the classics. Like, not just you get chased and you have to do a little chase thing, it's a game over. Which is pretty harsh in a game, the way you have to save manually. So while I was thinking, oh, I'll get to do some side missions in this, it ends up not really, like, I didn't end up getting to do any because you have to spend the entire chapter going up and down, like weaving around on the rooftops and then in the sewer and then through car parks and then up on the rooftops again.
Yeah. So you had to do before, if you wanted to do this side mission, you had to do before the purgatory?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm clear about where, maybe. I'm not clear if there is like a clean Saijima time. I don't know that there is. Maybe there isn't. Just like explore around as Saijima.
Because he's a still criminal.
Yeah, and so the cops are more wanting to get him.
You bump into the weapon guy from Okinawa.
Oh, yeah.
On the roof.
Kanemura.
Yeah.
No, not Kanemura.
Kamiyama.
Kamiyama, sorry. Yeah, he was up on the roof.
Yeah.
What? He escaped from jail in the commotion.
Yeah.
When we managed to do that. So we have to weave through the roof and the sewers and stuff and then end up back at the hideout where we find all the homeless people have been beaten up. And Minami from the Majima family is waiting for us there and lets us know that Majima wants to meet at the Millennium Tower.
Yeah.
And then, so he heads off and we have our path to Majima at this point. And then Kido is like, okay, here's how you'll get to the Millennium Tower. And it's so, he gives this like instructions and it's so long to the point where even Saijima is like, that sounds pretty fucking complicated. but it's just like, it's like a 10, 15 step process where it's long enough that you kind of like, you start off and you're like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this. And then you're like, no, I'm not. And then it's even better, like, it's not, like, in your notes or anywhere. It's just gone. It's just like, okay, sure. I'll follow the pink arrow, I guess.
And they tell the somebody tell you.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Before leaving, though, Kido is asking a bit about regret.
Oh.
I think this is an important conversation for Kido. Where he's asking him, you know, Saijima, does he regret anything that he did? And Saijima kind of like responds and also gives Kido advice for, you know, becoming his own man. Saijima saying that he's just living the life he chose. And that's what being a yakuza is living the life that you choose, not somebody else choose for you. Which is, I suppose living the life is that, but also, you know, you are a yakuza, so you have to follow people's orders. so it's like it's always that weird, like, twisted part of...
Contradiction.
Yeah. Like, they're always contradictory in the way when they get really philosophical about being a yakuza. And like, it's about being, you know, true to yourself and doing your own thing. And then doing whatever your boss tells you to, no matter what, and dying for your boss. Like, hold on. It's about being your own man, but also somebody else's man. It's about doing the right thing and also all these crimes. But yeah, saying that it was his choice to live that life and he gets to, you know, do it.
And but that, it's difficult, it is difficult to do.
Yeah. And he says to Kiddo to, you know, whatever he wants to do, to go for it 100%, which is kind of the main part he's talking about. I think that will come up later with Kiddo and what he wants to do.
あれかな? やっぱり family first かな?
Yeah.
So the, you know, boss is, you know, the whatever happened, he is the highest priority. Then follow him, you know, your boy.
Yeah, it's that's the thing about the Yakuza games where it kind of flips between being like loyalty is the important part or, you know, doing the right thing is the important part even against loyalty. Like it flips between those a little bit. It's usually like more like loyalty to friends, loyalty to stuff. Because that's what Majima's whole thing was and what Saijima's whole entire character is about is being loyal to people that he cares about.
Yeah, otherwise you lose even, finger.
Yeah, even Hamazaki or, you know, Sasai and the Tojo clan, like loyalty to that and following through with the thing. No matter what. And, you know, every bad guy in the Yakuza series is somebody who is not being loyal to the family. That's where it always comes down to. It's somebody that, like, was going for their own gain at the expense of other people and, like, throwing loyalty away. I can't think of any bad guys that aren't that. Pretty much all that, aren't they?
No, that is a like a samurai era as well. You know, that's it's exactly the same as the samurai era.
Yeah,
so you have to be loyal to the.
Which is what the whole thing with the whole public perception that Yakuza have always tried to put out there is that it's some like continuation of samurai era things, even though it's not. But that's what they want to put out there.
Yeah.
And that's what this series of games puts out there as well. Like, the Yakuza in... The bad guys in the Yakuza series are never as come close to being as bad as real Yakuza are in real life. And how horrible the things that they do are. Because otherwise the game series would be like impossible to rate. But that's the whole thing, isn't it? Of like trying to put forward that public perception of being, you know, this is like the samurai code. Which all the good guys are that. And all the bad guys are betrayers. So we go through Kiddo's extreme journey and don't get any game overs, thankfully. And then arrive at Millennium Tower.
Mm.
To the standard greeting of 1,000 dudes we have to fight.
Yeah. Mane. Did you meet the Kauchu guy?
Mm-hmm.
Kauchu man?
No, there wasn't any couch man in this one because it wasn't it was more like a big fight and then a stop. So it was just like a single arena fight where you fight like half the Majima family and Minami, and we get the music that has like crazy dad.
What?
No, like it sounds like that's what it's saying. There's a music when we're fighting Minami.
Yeah.
And it just has that voice throughout the whole thing that sounds like it's constantly saying, crazy dad.
Really?
Yeah. It's not saying crazy dad, but it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
It's saying something else. It's weird.
Hmm. Was it techno music?
Yeah. Like, all I can remember is the crazy dad part.
Hmm.
So we fight all these guys, Minami, and at this point, Saejima is like, we powered him up most of the way.
Mm.
And Saejima is just ridiculous.
Mm.
Like, his normal combos and his, like, move where you hold down triangle.
Mm.
He has a... Saejima's whole thing is charge moves. Like, you charge up there. Not charge moves like Guile in Street Fighter.
Mm.
But charge moves like you holding in the button on stuff and then powering up an attack.
Mm.
It's usually like on his triangle, like combo finishes.
Mm.
So you do the normal punch, and then you do like a big one, but you can hold in the button to charge it up further.
Mm.
Now at this point, he can charge that up and then go into a combo of charged attacks.
Mm.
But he also has just normal, like where you can just charge in an attack and then release it.
Mm.
It has like a spinning
like move. A Zangief?
Yeah, like almost.
Mm.
And like that does... Between those couple of attacks, like he's super powerful at this point. Mm. So we clear through all of the 1,000 dudes and Minami. Mm. And then Majima appears.
Mm.
And he's back in classic Majima outfit.
Yeah.
With the jacket.
Jacket. With that shirt.
Yeah. So he's out of the like sad Majima, serious Majima suit that he's been in for the rest of the time.
Mm.
And then he asks us to catch up and go for a stroll outside.
Mm.
And we stroll out from the Millennium Tower and we get another one of those fantastic... like outrageous parts of the Yakuza series where the entire of Kamurocho is filled with dudes.
Yeah.
Just Yakuza guys lining every street in the entire city.
Yeah.
Like thousands of
them. I hope they did the domino effect thing.
You were hoping for the, was that in Yakuza 2?
Yakuza 2. Oscar is over this.
And they just like bow, they run down. Yeah, and you can run back and they bow again. Yeah, sadly, we don't have the like bowing domino effect. No. But it is like the extreme, ridiculous, like filled the whole thing.
Mm.
I always love these parts where you're like, what are the logistics of this?
Mm.
How did they organize this?
Mm.
Where did all the cops go?
Mm.
How does nobody... like? Surely this would be on the news of like 10,000 Yakuza fill the streets of Kamurocho.
Mm.
Like the same way that like if you remember when the Omi were coming up the highway and there's just like 100 cars in a gigantic procession taking up the entire highway.
You know what I saw in my life in real?
Really?
Mm.
What did you see?
The prince, when the prince visited, when the prince, royal family visited the mint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I came back from school, there's a black suit with tie and guy with the headphone.
Yeah.
And this every 1 meter on the street, main street. And what's going on? because I asked someone and he told me, oh, the prince. I didn't know that.
I love that Majima has like 100 times the amount of guys that would be for the royal family. And then we head over to the batting center. Classic Majima location. Sajima is just getting more increasingly frustrated because he just wants answers, and Majima's just like fucking around, like doing batting and stuff. And there's that really great bit where Sajima just catches the ball right as Majima's about to hit it. Just shuts that down. And Majima is like really solemn in this whole thing. And he's like, okay, let's settle things. Because betrayal of your brother means death. It doesn't matter how or why I betrayed you. So we should fight it out. So we have a battle with Majima in there. After the fight, they're both collapsing on the ground. And Majima begins to explain that.
It's like a teenager drama. No?
Yeah.
Like fight each other and then lie down on the ground.
Yeah, it's classic. And like Sajima's kind of asking about the eye as well. He actually takes off the eye patch. We don't get to see it, but he shows Sajima. And that 85 was when he lost the eye, as well as Sajima and Sasai. And that the Oenosewa hit was a setup. And that the guy behind it was Shibata. And that's the end of the chapter. So, which is really, would be really frustrating if they didn't immediately go into the chapter prologue.
Who is Shibata?
The other guy. He's the family above the Kanemura Enterprises that are currently hunting for Arai. Definitely Yakuza 4 needs to go to the options, the menu that has the little lines between all of the family things.
And a picture.
Yeah.
Because many definitely. People.
Because we last time we got a handle on it, and then they added more stuff. And made it more complicated.
Yeah, and then he betrayed and then he become homeless and...
Yeah, because now we have to... Well, we don't have to care about the Sasai family anymore because that's kind of done. But we still have the Uenosewa are still active. The Tojo clan, how they relate to each other. The Shibata family. Kanemura Enterprises are kind of collapsed at the moment, but we still have Arai doing stuff. And it's only going to get more complicated from here before the end. Because we've got another two characters.
Yeah.
It's only just getting started. Also, here's something. We went through the entirety of Saijima's story.
Yeah.
Well, not the whole story, because he's going to have more at the end. But his four chapters. He didn't meet his sister.
Oh, right.
That's still to come.
Where is she gone?
She disappeared after getting her money, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Things are getting more complicated, and it's definitely a case of like, okay, let me see this chart with the like red string going between different characters.
Yeah, we need a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To keep track of this, because it's becoming more complicated.
Yeah.
So that chapter would have been super frustrating, especially the end of the chapter, if not for the fact that they have the epilogue part in between before the next one, thankfully. Which is Majima's side of the story. We've seen what happened with Sajima.
Sajima, yeah.
On the day of the hit. And now we're seeing Majima's side because we had the like scene from when they were preparing and then Majima didn't show up. So this is the direct lead into where Majima is at in Yakuza Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 1985, the day of the hit,
mm.
where Majima is in a warehouse with Shibata.
Mm.
And Shibata is telling Majima that he's not going because there's been a slight change of plans.
Because
mm. Dojima has decided he doesn't want them to wipe out the Ueno yet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Shibata has some more questions about this because the whole hit
mm.
doesn't actually make sense.
Yes.
He's saying this partially to convince Majima as well.
Mm.
That, okay, if the Ueno are enemies to the Tojo clan, mm. why does the Tojo clan know where Ueno is going to be? Because this is after he's coming out of jail.
Hmm.
Why do they know where he will be? How did they get this information?
Hmm.
And the second thing is, this is his first meal out of prison. Why are they going to some ramen shop?
True.
Why is it not like some fancy sushi or something?
Hmm.
That would be where they would go.
Hmm.
And so what Shibata is telling Majima is that there are traitors within
hmm.
the Ueno and Tojo clan.
Mm.
And he's saying that the traitor in the Tojo clan is Sasai,
mm.
which is not true, I guess.
Mm.
Like, doesn't seem... That seems like stuff he's making up to, like, commit Majima.
Mm.
Now, whether the other parts of it seem kind of legitimate,
mm.
but the traitor in the Tojo clan and the, like, Ueno...
Mm.
Well, we don't know about the Ueno Sewa.
Mm.
But the Sasai being connected to that directly doesn't make any sense because of what happens to the Sasai family directly after this.
Mm.
But the idea that he's saying is that it's to start a war between the Ueno
mm.
and the Tojo clan
mm.
to gain position, to be the one to... fix it all afterwards and then gain a higher position inside the Tojo clan.
Mm.
So in order to counter this, they're pulling out. Pull out to protect Dojima and Shimano.
Mm.
Now, Majima
mm.
is too much of like the brother to Saijima.
Mm.
So he completely refuses, even if it's a trap, even if it's a... like a setup,
mm.
he's not going to leave Saijima there
mm-hmm.
to what die or mm. get, you know, go to prison by himself.
Mm.
So he's completely refusing to do it,
mm.
which is the point where Shibata kind of drops the act a bit and brings out the guys to beat up Majima
mm.
to stop him from being going.
Mm.
So Majima fights these guys and takes down, like, most of them.
Mm.
Like, there's a huge amount of guys, but Majima, like, takes out almost all of them.
Yeah.
Before getting, like, taken and chained up.
Mm.
So, this is, like, even, you know, pre-Zero, Majima is still, like, super strong
mm.
at this point
mm.
and can knock out most of the guys.
Mm.
But still gets taken out
mm.
and chained up.
Mm.
And then we have a guy with a knife there.
Mm.
And Majima is still refusing to bow to them even then. And that's the point where the guy,
mm.
even if he goes blind, mm. which the guy's threatening him with mm. the knife,
mm.
he still refuses and the guy takes one of Majima's eyes.
Mm.
So this... You know, we know what happens to Majima after this.
Mm.
He gets thrown in the hole,
mm.
Shimano's hole,
mm.
for, what is it, a year
mm.
of torture?
Mm.
And then ends up in Osaka
mm.
and, like, caged in
Sotenbori.
Mm. And then the events of Zero
mm.
happen
mm.
that lead to... And post that, we have mm. the modern Majima. So we've got like a whole thing at this point. This is the piece
mm.
that we didn't previously have. Mm. Although it's weird because, like, this happened before zero. Mm. So that technically zero was filling in a piece. But that's that. So a bit more satisfying once we had the epilogue part.
Mm. Mm.
And that's that for Saejima's part.
Mm.
So next up, we've got a new character next time.
Mm. Who?
Tanimura.
The
cop guy.
Mm.
Which is like a unique thing for the series.
Mm.
We get to play.
Well, cop and the Yakuza is a kind of, I don't know, so close.
It's a classic thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Cop has to, you know, rogue cop has to work with the ex-Yakuza to get a conspiracy thing.
Mm.
But I think the main thing that we have to prepare ourselves for that is that it's going to open up. That's a new character, which means they're going to have a new storyline, which means new characters and new complications into the whole thing.
Mm.
If you thought it was complex already,
yeah,
it's only going to get more so from here.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's like a weird thing, Saejima's chapters, where a lot of the time Saejima's story hasn't actually been happening in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of Saejima's, the main, like the big stuff that we've been finding out, the big parts of information, is stuff that happened in the past.
Yeah.
Mm. Like the stuff that happened with the Ueno Seiwa in 1985. Mm-hmm. And then we get both sides of that story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of, like, I mean, this chapter now, like in terms of what happened in this chapter, we met up with Majima and found out stuff that happened in the past.
Mm.
And, like, we found out what happened to Sasai, but, again, that's, like, filling. Saejima makes sense because Saejima's been in jail for 25 years.
Saejima, no?
Yeah.
Mm.
That it's about him finding out what happened.
Yeah.
In between and filling in those gaps and us getting those gaps filled as well.
Mm.
More so than because, you know, Saejima has had very little in terms of interaction with what is happening presently. You know, what's happening with the Ueno Seiwa now? What's happening with the Tojo clan now? What's happening with, you know, Yasuko?
Oh, so no.
All of these, all of the main parts that in Akiyama's story were like stuff, like the big events were happening, like all of Akiyama's stuff is happening like now.
Mm.
It's all the like intense stuff of like the guy gets shot and then the, you know, the Tojo clan is in chaos again and, you know, all the hunting Arai and all this stuff.
Mm.
Whereas Saejima, it's all about like, I mean, the break from prison, notwithstanding, like that is current, but the real revelations of his story have been like, what happened 25 years ago and what happened in between to bring us up to where we are now.
Mm.
And it's giving us the context for the stuff that's happening now of like, who are the Ueno Seiwa? What is their relationship with the Tojo clan? How does that tie into now, a lead to now? But in terms of like, especially the last two chapters, we haven't really done a lot in the current day. We like walked from here to there.
Do you think they match up the past and the current situation is matching up?
I think I think at this point what we have done is most of it.
Hmm.
It's just be little touches. Like the vast majority is that.
Because Akiyama's chapter is a current situation murder case, right?
Yeah.
And then the second chapter, the Saejima, is a past.
Yeah, like this event that happened in 1985. And what that created in the current situation. So it's situation.
A totally different the
yeah, timeline. Yeah, but we're getting like what Saejima's story leads, causes Akiyama's story.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the Ueno Seiwa and how that interacted and how that set that up. Like, so that's so it's already does. It all merges together. It's just like interesting that Sajima has so little like current. He's like coming in and like touching all of this stuff, but not fully like getting fully into. He's like meeting Kido and running into some Shibata people and you know, meeting the florist, and he's kind of in and out. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
That's good.
But Sajima's story has been fun. I just feel the only thing I was kind of bummed about was that he's so, because he's on the run and a fugitive, like you don't get a feeling of like being able to freely explore Kamurocho as him, which I guess, I mean, hopefully there's no cops in Premium Adventure. But, so we'll have to save a lot of that stuff for that. So that's it for Sajima for now. There'll be more, a little bit more.
So who is the actually main character in
all of them? Yeah, because there are four people. They should have kept going. Yakuza 6 should have been six characters.
No more complication.
How many party members you get in Yakuza 7? Let me see.
I don't like complicated stuff.
Because
I can't memorize a name.
We do get five in Yakuza 5.
Is it? Really? Yeah. Five characters?
Yeah.
In five?
Yeah.
Shall we get the whiteboard?
Yeah. For maybe we should.
Yeah.
Get the pin board and the red string.
Yeah. And then and the put up photo.
Like, yeah, put up the photos like we're at
the cop.
The cop.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Make a cop board. And like get print out photos of them as we play through. We're like, okay, that's him. Write the little name underneath. Yeah.
And it's weird thing is if I write down in romaji, I just can't memorize. But if I write down with kanji, Chinese character, I can memorize easier.
I see. That's interesting.
But the English one doesn't have the Chinese character. Always a romaji. So English. So it's a bit hard to memorize. Who is it? But anyway.
Okay. Well, that's it for this time. Next time, new character. And, well, it'll be very new to me because that is the character that has a different actor in the remaster. So it'll be totally new. I won't have any, like, little bits of memory coming back because I won't recognize the person at all. Because different face, different voice, which I'm very interested in. But
same line though, same storyline though.
Yeah, they haven't changed any of that. They've just taken him out. Just like Pierre Tacky in Judgment.
Oops. recently we saw the Pierre Tacky in the drama. You know?
Yeah.
What was the title?
Naked Director.
Yeah, and I highly recommend.
Yeah, I think if you enjoy the Yakuza series.
Yeah, Yakuza series. It's really.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think you would enjoy Naked Director on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's based on a true story.
Yes.
It's extreme.
Yeah. You see a lot of Kabukicho in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The real life.
Yeah.
Kamurocho.
You spotted Maharaja.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you enjoyed Yakuza 0. You should check that out because it's got more of the 80s style.
Yeah.
With some dodginess.
Yeah, dodginess. How the cop connect to the Yakuza. But not anymore.
Yeah. So, Naked Director.
Yeah.
Recommend. Recommendation.
Recommendation.
Weekly recommendation. Whenever we want.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, if you want to send us a message, you can. RyugaPodcast@gmail.com. RyugaGotalk on Twitter. Until next time, remember,
Kiryu never killed anyone. Bye.
Bye.